Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
Many times in life, it is not how fast we get what we want. It is how well we have prepared ourselves for what we want. Some time ago, I said to us that to be single is not sickness. To be single is not a disease. And never allow someone to treat you like a sickness because you are single. So, you see, every single girl wants to be married. Marriage has become like, it has to happen. Anyhow, it has to happen. So desperately, some single girls have gotten married to nice-looking devils, gentle-looking devils, because we just want to get people off our backs. Let it not look as if it is only me that is not married as a young man. But plenty of the time, it is not how soon you got married. It's how well you prepared for marriage. Because many who got married are wanting to go out of marriage now. Some are even regretting. Many times, the time of preparation, the length of the days of preparation will always be longer than the length of manifestation. Nobody can manifest bigger than he or she is supposed to manifest, but you can actually be smaller. God is never afraid of your manifestation, but the concern of God is whether you will manifest to the length or to the extent you were ordained to manifest. Marriage can be a bliss. Marriage can be the best thing that ever happened. Marriage can also be a toothache. It can be a serious pain. Marriage can be the reason why destiny is not fulfilled. You can get it wrong in your choice of course to study, and you are okay. Some wanted to be doctors, but they ended up biochemists. Some wanted to be lawyers, but they ended up studying English or reading sociology or political science. You can get it wrong with your tailor, and you still manage to appear. You can get it wrong with your barber. But if you get it wrong with your spouse, if you get it wrong in marriage, almost 75% of your life is gone. And so that's why, for a thing as important as that, we ought to give the more time to it. Marriage is not first and foremost about love. For a child of God, marriage should be first and foremost about God's will or God's leading. Erroneously, a lot of persons have married for love and didn't enjoy the marriage. Because the truth is that it is only the love of God that is a love that has no strings attached to it. But the love of the human has various strings. And when those strings become weakened, it will no longer be able to hold the love. And it is also possible to fall in love with something that is not right for you. It is possible to love something that is not right for you. So it is not what we love that will always be good for us. Sometimes we love the most dangerous things. the things that will kill us, we love them. When a man loves drinking coke or mineral or alcohol, he loves it. He can't do without it. But if you ask doctors, they will tell you, if you continue to drink the way you are drinking, we don't guarantee you will live too long. But that's what he loves. So many times it's possible that we love what is not good for us. So that means that you can actually be loving a man or a woman that is not God's will for you. And so if you say, well, I love him, you remember Samson said to his parents, I love her. Just bring her to me, my soul. And you know what? Samson was loving a Delilah. What a love. So the first marriage in the Bible was a marriage predicated on the direction of God, on the will of God, not on the love. Adam didn't love Eve. They had not met before. Amen. But you know the beautiful thing about God and the leading and the will of God is that when you get to where God wants you to get to, you begin to develop love for the things God wants for you. And that's the safest place anybody can be. Praise the Lord. So there are some blunders that you must avoid in relationship, especially relationship that will end up in marriage. Blunders you must not commit in relationship vis-a-vis marriage. Number one, counterfeit. What that means is that don't be fake. Don't be fake. Be real. Don't be fake in any relationship. Strive at all costs to be real at all the time. We have a lot of fake people in relationship. Actors. All you are seeing, that brother that is behaving as if he loves God, is just so that the marriage will happen. And after that, your wife will be begging you to go to church. That sister that is speaking in tongues, the tongues does not pass this door. Fake. God wants us to be real. There can never be a better you than you. So don't pretend to be what you are not in order to keep a relationship, only to be blown open soon. Please don't pretend to be what you are not. If you love money, tell the person that has asked your hand in marriage that there's one weakness you have, that you love money. Amen. Let him decide whether he will marry you or not. Praise God. So don't pretend. Be who you are. And tell the person, this is the person I am. Brother, don't tell a sister that you are working in one oil company that is not found anywhere. You just mention any name. In fact, you create a name and say your salary is $186,000, that they are planning to increase it to $250,000. Amen. Amen. Every time you go and borrow safety boot from somewhere and wear, so a sister will say that you are wearing a safety boot, you are coming from a company. Whereas you are not working, maybe you are grinding somewhere. Be who you are. And that will be fine. Praise God. That will be fine. There's pressure to be fake in the world that we are living today. There's so much pressure to be fake. But I want you not to fall for that pressure. Be real. You see, let the sister decide he wants to marry you in spite of your low income. My name is this. I work in this company. My salary for now is $30,000 a month. But I believe that we can take care of ourselves. Fine. Let her be the one to decide from there. That, well, it's $30,000, but I think we can move forward. Rather than you claiming salary that you are not earning by faith. That one is not by faith. Don't say, I told her in faith. When she discovers, you won't like yourself. Number two blunder in relationship is convenience. Anything done at convenience oftentimes don't mean so much. Any serious thing is achieved by commitment. So don't just have a relationship of convenience. What that means is the person has to speak the same language. We have to come from the same tribe. Some persons are so tribalistic, despite the Holy Ghost in you. You can't marry a Yoruba man, not even an Hausa man, let alone an Ogoni woman. My mother told me that the person I must marry should speak the same language. In fact, we must come from the same local government area, if possible, from the same clan. And that is the person you are still waiting for, and you are getting old. Amen. Marriage of convenience. I think it's okay looking for somebody that you feel you can control. Convenience. You don't want any commitment. You don't want something that will stress you. Let me marry. You know, some men will say, I'm looking for a young girl. So he's 36. He wants to marry a 16-year-old. You want to marry somebody that will be calling you brother in the house, or sir, so that you can, anybody you can say, sit down. Marriage or any relationship that will mean something to you, you must be willing to be committed to it. To be committed. Committed financially, committed materially, committed spiritually. So my relationship today, for convenience, for instance, he or she is the only one that have accepted me. So let it be, no matter who the person is. That's convenience. Throughout this year, he's the only person that asks my hand in marriage. So are you telling me not to say yes to him? You don't care whether he's a cousin of the devil, because he's the only person that said yes to you. Ah, she's the only woman that have liked me. Amen. Marriage of convenience, we are from the same area. Marriage of convenience, he's tall, she's tall. That's marriage of convenience. Some even spiritual brothers have gone as far as asking that family, do they used to give birth to female children or male children? So they try to study. Okay, in their family they have 5 boys and 1 girl. That means she will give me a boy when we marry. Marriage of convenience. Who told you? Praise God. I like you to understand that as a believer, there is more prayers can do than what we think. Some of us, we think that prayer is only useful when we have problems. But you know, you can actually use prayer to dictate what happens. The kind of children you want, the kind of height. You can actually say that to God. There are certain things we don't ask God because we just feel it will be too self or too carnal to ask God about. If the woman you are marrying to is vertically disadvantaged, and you too, you are vertically disadvantaged, what I mean, both of you are not tall, make it a prayer point. So before the first child enter, lay your hands in your wife's womb and say, this child is a tall child. Give him height. Say you'll be 6 feet tall. Amen. And you're okay. Rather than trying to match things for yourself. Convenience is when you do things that you are not willing to put in so much or doesn't require sacrifice. Number 3 blunder is what I call compromise. CCC. Convenience, counterfeit, compromise. To compromise means to lower the standard in order to accommodate something. Lowering standard, lowering principles in order to accommodate standards. Now, I will say this. There's nothing wrong to be a principled young woman. Principled young man. And there are standards you must have if you are going to get what is good for you. But there are some standards you can adjust if you are going to get what is good for you. Your righteous standard must not be lowered in order to accommodate somebody who is living a life of sin. But there are certain principles, principles like complexion, principles like language, principles like educational background. I've always wanted to marry a medical doctor. That was my prayer. That was me, medical doctor. I never desired a wife outside the medical profession. It must be a medical doctor. But my wife is not even in the science class, let alone being a medical doctor. She studied economics. Praise God. So sometimes there are principles, there are likings, there are aspirations that you can adjust. But there's what I call the standard righteous principle. That I'll never sleep with a man who is not my husband is a principle that should not be compromised. I'll never be pregnant for a man in order for him to marry me. That's a standard principle. None of those righteous principles, those are the ones you don't need to lower. Don't compromise in order to accommodate somebody of a lower spiritual state. Otherwise, you'll be the one that will suffer it in the marriage. Look at it. There are certain things that must not come down. He said, see, this standard, this is where we need to build up from. Amen. That's not to say if you are speaking in tongues and the man you want to marry is not speaking in tongues, say, well, I'm going to wait until you begin to speak in tongues. It's somebody who loves the Lord, who wants to know God. Compromise is accepting mediocrity as a norm. And mediocres in any field don't go far. So never compromise or shift ground on certain rules of engagement. Otherwise, you will burn your fingers. Let your potential spouse know what you stand for as far as certain righteous standards and rules are concerned. And there are five things, or six, I said you should never compromise on. Number one, never compromise on the God you serve. Never compromise on the God you serve. See, don't allow marriage to introduce you to another God. One of the anger of God against Solomon is that he married many wives. That didn't bother God so much. But the Bible said all the wives he married turned his heart away from God. Solomon started building altars for strange gods, different temples in his compound. Every wife that came with his own personal God and requested that Solomon must build an altar. So he wants to please the women. And God said, Solomon, for this thing you have done, I say that your father's house, there will be king forever. But I'm taking away kingship. Only for David's sake, I will retain 2 thrones in Israel. But I'm taking away 10. So, don't compromise on the God you serve. Number two, don't compromise on good worship place, good church. Church life is very important to our Christian journey. Don't compromise on a good church. And I say that to you as sons and daughters. Don't compromise on sexual interaction before marriage. Don't compromise on sexual interaction before marriage. If the brother say, I want to test, or the sister say, I want to test, say, we can do the testing after the marriage. Amen. You are not super. Don't compromise on sexual interactions before marriage. Number four, don't compromise on righteousness. The Bible says, Paul was saying to the Galatians, he said, what have bewitched you that you started in righteousness and now you are ending up as carnal? So don't compromise on righteousness. Number three, don't compromise on divine instruction. Now, this is very important. There are some people God will tell you, don't marry. Please. Please, no matter the pressure you are under, if God says it, don't compromise on divine instruction. It is flouting divine instruction that have led men into the slavery of Satan. So don't compromise on divine instruction. If God says sit, please sit. It's very important. If God said don't marry now, please don't. No matter how far you have gone, it's very important. Number five, don't compromise on fatherly counsel, especially your spiritual father. One of the reasons in our church that the first thing to do when somebody asks your hand in marriage is to tell the person to see your father in the Lord is not because your pastor loves entertaining visitors. He says, I like visitors. I have time, so I just like strange faces. So anybody that wants to marry, tell him to come around. I like seeing strange people. No. It's because he wants to dictate the spirit behind the voice. Because when you talk with a man, you can be able to tell the spirit he has. And so you can bring somebody. And the truth is that the fact that you tell somebody to see your pastor doesn't make the person the right candidate. So that I say, let the person see me, doesn't mean that I have said you can go ahead with the marriage. Praise God. Don't compromise on fatherly counsel. I've seen some of us make the mistake. Before you even bring the person to me, you have already taken the person to your father and you have agreed on traditional marriage date. Only to bring, daddy, this is the person I want to marry. And then when I begin to talk with the brother said, they have already gone to the village. I've seen the father, I've seen the mother. That is where my work finish. And I'll just tell the brother, welcome, you can continue. So whatever both of you see in the house, while your sister will meet with the while your brother. That's the prayer I always pray. No matter how a Wayo sister want to pretend in church, Wayo will meet with Wayo, even in church. There are Wayo brothers and Wayo sisters. So God will bring the both of you together, and then when you go to your house, you play the Wayo in full. Don't compromise on fatherly counsel. There are some people that your father in the Lord will say no. There are some people that he will say, wait a little bit. Please, listen. Don't allow your fiancé or your fiance to flaunt the instruction or the counsel of your spiritual father. Sometimes the man who wants to marry you will say, don't worry. Tell the person, this is what my father and the Lord said we should do before this traditional marriage date. Let's do it. Amen. Don't allow that person to make it look nonsense to you. Because one of the tricks of Satan is to make divine instruction look foolish. He said, why do we have to do it? Must we do it? Your pastor told you, before you go for that traditional marriage, come for prayer. Come for fasting. You just decided it doesn't mean anything. We are going to do what we want. No. Number next, don't compromise on visitation and spending night or weekends. You will not do so much to keep the person that doesn't want to stay by always spending the weekend. Some of us, we try to say, well, if I don't go like that to monitor him, I need to monitor him. Are you a monitoring spirit? I need to monitor him so that he will not do nonsense. I need to always be going to that house every weekend to be sure that no other person is spending the weekend. You don't need all of that. Don't compromise on weekends visitation. Before you know, you keep your nightgown there. Before you know, you keep another nightgown. Before you know, you alone have 3 nightgowns in his house. That is beginning from temporary to permanent membership. Before you know it, you have added a skirt. Before you know it, you have kept your slippers there. Let me just keep these slippers so that anytime I come, I'll be wearing it. Before you know, you bring a shoe. Until you bring your traveling box there, you will not know. And your dowry has not been paid. And you have become a wife. Now like that, it will happen. Praise God. So, don't compromise on it.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.